Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, a life in the CIA. Today, continuing my conversation with Howard Hart, the most decorated person in the entire history of the CIA. His life and career have been amazing. I've talked to him many times in the past. Those interviews are available through the Conversations with David Lewis site on the AM1690 website. But right now, this interview, continuing from yesterday, is really about the personal side of serving in the CIA. Hart has written a book about the subject called A Life for a Life, a memoir, My Career in Espionage, Working for the Central Intelligence Agency. And that overview is what I want to get to. But first, I need to give listeners a bit of background on Howard Hart. His desire to serve the country came out of an incident very early in his life when his family were prisoners in a World War II Japanese internment camp in the Philippines, where his father had been working. The family lived there, and when the Japanese invaded, all the civilians got put into internment camps. At the age of four, as the American troops invaded and took back the Philippines, his whole family, and in fact the whole camp, were due to be executed when paratroopers, American paratroopers, came in, saved his life. One of his earliest memories is being picked up by a GI and being herded onto a rescue, you know, landing craft that got him and his family out of there. And he really decided at that very early age that his life had been saved and that he therefore owed his life in service to the country, which became his work in the CIA, and thus the title of his book, A Life for a Life. Hart then, after a college career where he, among other things, picked up little languages like Hindustani and Urdu, went into the military briefly, but then quickly began a 25-year career in the CIA, where, among other things, he was the first person to actually initiate and run the war, the secret war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. That's when he was the station chief in CIA station chief in Pakistan. He also was the acting station chief in Iran when the country fell, and he had some incredible adventures there, some of them rather brutal. And then when he came back to the U.S., he also ran the CIA side of Jimmy Carter's effort to rescue the American hostages who'd been held. Hart is, in fact, the most decorated person in the entire history of the CIA. A remarkable man, a remarkable life. And today, we're really going to talk about that life. Continuing now that conversation with Howard Hart. You were talking about the impact of your life had on your family. And that is not an uncommon story for the people that I've known who've been posted overseas for the CIA, the case officers. And there is a certain parallel to foreign correspondents in the journalism trade, but they at least get to tell their families what they're really up to. But right. the divorce rate, the you know, it's pretty damn hard to sustain a family. That's just a reality in that world. What are some of the other things about the CIA that you would want the public to know? What are some of the biggest misconceptions, perhaps?
Well, the first misconception is, and this is flogged most heartily, I guess, by the New York Times and others, we used to consider back in the 70s and 80s and 90s that the New York Times was an anti-American newspaper, and that was only half in jest. The CIA is a very, very small organization when you consider all the rest of the government. It used to be very difficult to get into it, and it demanded absolute commitment for the entire period of your life. And what has happened, I am told, in the last 10 to 15 years is that the kind of young officers who are joining CIA do not have the lifelong commitment that people of my generation and generations before me and just after me had. Very often they want to punch a ticket and say, I got accepted to CIA, and they do 2 or 3 years, then they go off somewhere saying, I was in CIA, so I'm awfully smart. That's terrible news. Also, the agency is currently going through again, another big reshuffling of organization and responsibilities, and I don't think for the better. I belong to a thing we used to call the clandestine service. It was a part of CIA. Well, I understand that the clandestine service no longer formally exists, and they're trying to integrate analysts and operations officers, which I was one of, and somehow this magic is going to make things work better. The challenge is that the agency, all of our intelligence agencies face, are as grave or graver than they were at the height of the Cold War with the Soviet Union. For example, it's my personal belief, having talked to people who are in the business, that there are countries in this world like China and Russia, and actually smaller countries than that, who can actually really paralyze America remotely because, for example, by shutting down our air traffic control system or large parts of our electrical grid. This can all be done by hacking into our computer-driven systems, which are not protected or protected inadequately. And we could easily find ourselves in desperate circumstances by a silent enemy who can't be directly identified. Imagine, David, if you will, if our air traffic control system went down, period, for a number of days or even weeks or months.
Let's sum this up. Looking back, it's almost as good as a fantasy as the fantasy of what happens if I win Powerball ticket. But, the fantasy of the do-over. What's your do-over fantasy?
Well, I wouldn't have changed a thing up to the point that I retired. I figured I'd run out of luck after 25 years in the agency. I'd had all the jobs that I wanted. There was going to be a new president who did not like CIA, did not understand intelligence. If I could have my way, I'd like to become 30 years younger and still be in CIA and still try to take it in a different direction than it seems to be headed now. The one comment I would make, David, that I hope your listeners are aware of, is that we are in an extraordinarily dangerous period, not just because of crazies like the Islamic State or terrorists in general, but because the complications of wasting more manpower and money if we continue to be involved in wars in the Middle East, etc. That's one big problem. The second big problem I see is this administration has decided that it is going to shift our area of concern to the Pacific, meaning China, which is actually, in my mind, nothing more than a cover to try to disengage from the much tougher problems of the Middle East and Russia moving into Ukraine, etc. I think it's a sham, it's a delusion, it's absolutely silly, because if we ever have a war with China, it's going to be a nuclear one, and pray God that doesn't happen. But to go and pretend like we're going to reinforce and build up our capabilities, military, such as they are in the Pacific, is absurd. And the third is the incredible technological challenge that we face, as I mentioned a moment ago, by people being able to disrupt our society remotely. And the next problem would be you have countries like Pakistan who have nuclear weapons up the gump stump and are teetering on the edge of collapse, and Iran, which I think is, as I said earlier, definitely going to attain nuclear status, and you have North Korea, which has nuclear weapons, and I cannot imagine a more difficult series of threats to our national survival, never mind security, survival, than that mix of things. And the answer to it is twofold. It is to have the best and most effective intelligence in the world. It is to have a military which is aware that wars anywhere, even at sea, are not going to be fought anymore the conventional way that all of our military has been raised in. And thirdly, I fear political leadership that does not grasp these problems by the horns and try their very best to come up with proper answers.
Well, Howard Hart, wisdom from the mountaintop, literally, as always. I just want to say it's been always an honor to speak with you, and thank you for sharing some more of the personal side of your journey. It's not easy stuff to talk about, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the many wonderful times we've spent talking together, both on the radio and in person.
Absolutely, David. Well, it's my honor and pleasure, too. And you take care of yourself, and God bless your family.
And you. On the Conversations with David Lewis webpage on the AM1690 site, there will be a SoundCloud folder available. On that are a number of interviews that I've done with Howard Hart over the last 10 years. So if you want to hear in detail some of his adventures, such as running the Iran rescue mission, the intelligence side, or running the secret war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, those stories will be available to listen to there.